Okay, we're recording.
We are? Okay. I'd like to welcome everyone this morning, and Keith, welcome aboard. We appreciate your willing to serve on the board, and we look forward to working with you through the next few years. At this time, I'll go ahead and call to order a Board of Directors meeting of the McLennan County Appraisal District. We'll call this meeting to order at 9:05. All members are present, with the exception of Councilman Jim Holmes. So just that for the note. We do not have public comment today, is that correct?
Yes, sir.
Okay, that's good. We'll move down to the business session, the part of the agenda now, and the consent agenda, which consists of the minutes of the July 14th, 2022 meeting. Does anyone wish to make any corrections or have any discussion with regards to the consent agenda? If not, it will stand as it is presented. We'll move down at this time to management and committee reports. Chief Appraiser report.
Should be a page that says Chief Appraiser updates. Under HR, we have 44 positions in the budget. I think right now we have 40. If everybody accepts that we have an offer out there, I think there's two outstanding right now that should onboard on September 12th. But we filled one appraisal support position, one records position, two residential positions, and then one GIS has accepted. I guess one of the residential people is still kind of pending, or one more additional. We still have two customer service positions that are open. Typically, we fill those through a temp agency. And then under appraisal, we have, right now we have 4,236 active permits, and properties that we need to go inspect because of what the cities have told us or the permits that we put on ourselves. There's almost 3,000 we've entered since January 1, and so the appraisers are just now getting back out in the field and doing inspections on these. Under ARV, we have...
Joe, real quickly, I wanted to ask a question on that. Are we sending two people out now if we go do personal inspections on?
Residential's going out in teams.
Okay.
And I know BPD, personal property's gonna be going out in teams.
Okay. I just recall some incidences earlier this year, and I was gonna make sure that we had addressed that by. Good to hear.
Yes, sir. Last year there were more and more instances of being told just to get off their property. People were being more aggressive, I guess, and telling us to leave.
Right.
Under ARV, in 2021, we had almost 15,000 protests. Currently for 2022, we have almost 20,000. There's 312 that are still active, that are remaining. Most of these are due to reschedules. Homeowners are allowed to just reschedule without any reason. They can do that at least once. And then after that, they have to have good cause. And then also if, like for a tax agent, if they're scheduled in another county on the same date, then we may have to punt. Reschedule them also, but these will be scheduled September 20th and 21st, and it should take about 2 days. We'll have four panels running. We'll get those knocked out. Under arbitration, we have 41 filed so far. We had 64 last year, and there's September 19th is the current deadline. That's 60 days after the last court order went out. The date, September 20th and 21st, whenever those board orders go out, those people will have another 60 days to file arbitration on those 312 properties if they choose to. Under active lawsuits, I'll give you a roll-up of how many active we have per year and what the total value is and potential refund. This is assuming historically we settle at 15% less than the ARB certified value. So that's what this is estimating, is 15% of the tax levy and what that amount would be. Under training and education, Jim and Leslie just went to the ad valorem conference in San Antonio. And then we have internal training days. There'll be a few days that we may close the office to the public, just to do office-wide training, just to make sure everybody's on the same page. We've been changing a lot of things and trying to get updates and different procedures, and we just want to get everybody on the same page. Under building facilities, we have the new ACs installed. At the last meeting, I mentioned that this AC is giving us problems. They came out, Lisa's contacted about 20 times. They came out 2 days ago. They got it working again, and right now it seems pretty humid.
It's almost 70% humidity in here.
And downstairs stays about 40%. So I don't know what's wrong with this particular unit. It's either 90 degrees or it'll hold the temperature and it's just extremely humid. So we're getting close to having them replace it under warranty at this point. We have donated quite a bit of equipment. At the last meeting, y'all authorized us to dispose of excess equipment. And so McGregor, I sent an email to all the entities asking if anybody wanted on any of it. There's a lot of filing cabinets and some furniture and desks. McGregor was the only entity that responded. They came out here with at least three 12-foot enclosed trailers and a 40-foot trailer and hauled off a tremendous amount of filing cabinets and desks and just stuff that they said they could use.
Good.
But it was a lot easier. I prefer to do that than to auction it off for pennies on the dollar, and then they still have to go buy it for a significant markup.
I agree with you. I appreciate you handling it that way.
We have purged all those filing cabinets were full of stuff from 10, 20 years ago. So we had 21 bins, like the 96-gallon trash cans, that we had shredded. The shred company came out and shredded all that. We had an equal amount that we just recycled. We did get the servers installed. They're active. We migrated to Office 365 from Exchange. Our software vendor, network consultant, was basically saying there's an issue with Exchange that's subject to getting hacked, and so we just migrated it to Office 365. And then on contracts, we canceled cover lease. Cover lease was a new contract last year or this year, and it basically you basically put in the data and it compiles it into a more usable format using OCR. But it wouldn't let us scan a lot of our documents due to copyright protection that came from ALN or different sources. We couldn't put it in there. And so it won't compile all of our documents, all of the information that we wanted it to, so we're going to cancel that. They reached back out asking if they removed that restriction and just didn't make it public to anybody else, if that would fix our issue. So we're going to test that for another week and see if that fixes. Otherwise, it will be canceled. But we've already submitted our formal letter. And then Harris Govern is our major software provider, our appraisal software provider. They have online services, and all of that is being transferred to another company. Harris has problems doing things on timely manner, especially major changes. And I don't really trust BIS, the company that's taking over those services. So we're looking at a third party to pick up some of those services because I don't really trust the current handover. We already use Just Appraise for our deed process, and they're a smaller company, they're more flexible. They can do what we ask them to in a timely manner. And so the other company's gaining 180 clients in a matter of a year, and I just don't think they can handle that in a timely manner. So, I did not mention on here our insurance, or not insurance, internet, we're renewing it. With Grande, I think Robert's been looking at the contract for us just to make sure it's good. But it's cheaper and faster on this next renewal.
Okay.
That's all I have. Unless y'all have questions.
Okay. Anyone have questions or comments? Okay, if not, we'll move down to the taxpayer liaison officer report.
Good morning.
Good morning, ma'am. How are you?
Well,
great.
So I have four needs and complaints. She talked about this last meeting. I had no complaints. I've talked to each of these people and consider these resolved. They did not want to address the board. Mr. Parker was a little upset, and we had several conversations, and I explained to him that I can't change the law, but he finally just said, well, it's your job to fix this, and you're the liaison. I told him that y'all would have a copy of his complaint, and if he wanted to address y'all, he could, but he chose not to. As far as ARB recruiting, I have had like three members that are eligible to reapply. They've reapplied. One of them has moved out of our county, so we'll end up needing like two or three possibly new members. And I have had one new person apply. And I just want to say we've worked really hard getting this office cleaned and rearranged, and I think it looks really good.
I thought I showed up to the wrong place for a meeting when I came in this morning. So this looks really nice. And is this typically when we're looking to ARB, is this normal, or are you seeing less people interested?
That there's less people interested?
Right.
Well, we did have the notice in the paper in the Waco Trib, and it was 2 days. I believe it was a Wednesday and a Sunday or something like that. I haven't had a great big response, but since we only need two or three
right
members, I'm not really worried about it. If some people will email me or call me and they'll ask for an application, then I never get it.
No. Well, and the reason I ask that is if you watch social media, you think you'd be overrun with applications. And that's why I'm asking, is it, you know, is it just talk, or are people following up with their comments, and it doesn't appear that people are following up, so.
Yeah.
And I'm not saying that's a problem. I'm just trying to keep up with, are we, I guess the concern I have, and it's the ARB, so we, but people that come on with an agenda, and I do worry a little bit about that, but I know that's beyond our purview, so.
The biggest issue for most people is most people have a job. So this is 8 to 5 Monday to Friday, and so that really narrows your pull down to
right
unemployed, retired.
Right.
So it really restricts. Most people that are mad are employed. So.
And we had the one realtor last year that she went through the training and the whole thing, and then she said, "No, I'm still working full time. I can't do it."
Yeah.
Well, the information that I provide to them with the application, you know, it's very clear as to when they need to be available.
Right. Well, we're seeing a lot of that. Jury participation is down, so it just is a concern. So if you have any issues with it, obviously you'll let Joe know, and
sure.
I'd like to know as well.
Can I just point out to Keith, he's just board. This, we're talking about the appraisal review board, and for many, many years, the board of directors in an appraisal district appointed the ARB members. A number of years ago, in districts this size, now for all appraisal districts in the state of Texas, the district judge appoints the appraiser review board members. This board no longer has the authority to do that, and that's been the case in McLennan County. It was implemented a number of years ago, and so complaints that are filed by persons over ARB issues, the board has a requirement to hear those complaints. There's not much you can do about them. You don't appoint them. You don't unappoint them. You're just the earpiece for them. The board on the statute has to appoint a taxpayer liaison officer, which Betty is, and she's the one that's the contact between the board of directors and the chief appraiser and the district judge over the appointment process, information about new applicants, reappointment, these types of things. And just let me point out is that you're prohibited as a board member from having any contact with the judge about any of that information. It flows through the taxpayer liaison officer. But she is obligated to give a report to you of any complaints filed with her about ARB issues at your board meetings. And they're always given an opportunity to discuss the complaints with the board, although you can't do anything about it. So.
And just, it's the senior district judge or the administrative district judge, which is Judge Vicki Menard. So just so you know, for that, if anybody asks, you need to refer, that's who you would refer them to.
Yes, a question, and just some specifics, if you will. The Harris complaint, Was that a complaint on the member of the ARB board, or was that a complaint on the staff of the district?
Okay, there is a copy of the complaint. She complained that she had heard a person, a female, make a comment about bathroom.
And I guess my concern is, or not concern, but question, was that one of Mr. Bobbitt's staff, or was that one of the ARB members?
I don't know if we know.
We don't know?
We
don't know. It was out in the waiting area, so we really don't know who it was that...
I could assume it's one of mine. If they're looking for somebody, I would assume it's one of my people.
But she didn't really respond to let you know specifically what the issue was. Just somebody said something that offended her.
Yes, sir.
Okay.
Yeah.
And number two there, I assume that you adequately described the process. You should know it, but...
Mr. Weber?
Yes.
Yes, I really tried to be very...
It's not his first time.
...and explaining, but he basically just told me that I'm sorry, I was confused. That was Larry Parker.
Not his first time
either. Yeah.
But
Mr. Weber complained about them not being qualified for...
Do we give him the information, like the contact information for the controller's office to say, hey, this is the people, these are the people that are in charge of the training, and you're trying to actually train?
Yes,
sir.
I did explain their training is just through the controllers. Yes, sir.
Mm-hmm. Okay, and then number four really brought something up and never followed through, so we really don't know what the issue is there.
Yeah, she didn't respond to my email or...
I think she was confused.
And I called her and left a voicemail for her.
I think she was confused about the numbers on the appraisal notice, and so she keyed in on one number that
well,
wasn't controlled.
Me too, so
but so she had one number in her mind, and she went to the ARB. They were talking about the total, which she wasn't prepared for, and so that I think that confused her.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay. Betty, is that it?
Yes, sir.
Thank you, ma'am. We'll move down to our item number four, the investment report.
We can skip this one. I put this on the agenda. Jim reminded me after the fact that the quarter's not over. So
okay.
At the next meeting, we'll provide a quarterly report.
So we'll just pull this today, and we'll see it at the next meeting. We'll move down to discussion items at this time. Number five will be financials.
There should be a loose financials, I guess, outside the packet. Jeremy was sending us a copy. We haven't downloaded it yet, or it hasn't been posted to the portal yet. So this is just out of QuickBooks. Going down it for the total income, we have received almost $3.3 million, which is about 75% of our total income, which makes sense since we get three quarterly payments. On expenses, total salaries, we've spent $1.2 million, which is 57%. On the next page, on total benefits, total 5,100 on benefits, we've spent $420,000, and that's at 54%. On professional services, we've spent $355,000, and that's at 62%. Appraisal review board on the previous page is at 106%, so we're over, but most of that is front loaded in the year. We've already done 3 months of hearings, roughly. Now we have 2 days left, so we'll probably be at about 110% by the time we're finished. That one's hard to forecast just due to we don't know how many people are going to protest, how many ARB members, how many hearings. Depending on the ARB chair, some years the ARB chair will send members home if we don't need them, if we don't need all of them in a given day. in some years, they prefer to keep everybody so that way people don't abandon ship and leave the ARB. And so he kept everybody here all the time just to keep them employed or paid, so to speak. Under office operation expenses, line item 5305-3 is miscellaneous. It's at 700%. I believe that's the postcards, but also the 5305 notices. So I'll have to check on why that one is so high. I don't know if we didn't budget for that when the postcard requirement came out. But based on the amount that we're over, it looks like our expenses for the postcards. Unless y'all know for sure.
I do.
Okay, so that's what that is.
Okay.
So why didn't we budget?
When we originally did this budget, we may not have realized the expense or how much was required.
Or how many phone calls would be received.
Yes, sir. On the next page, where it says about 3/4 of the way down, operation expenses total, we spent $353,000 total. That's at 97%, but a lot of that is kind of front loaded with ARB expenses and noticing requirements. Maintenance expenses, computer equipment hardware is at 3,000%. I believe that is server expenses, which we're going to take that out of the reserves. It was budgeted to come out of the reserve funds, and so we'll just do a line item change to actually move that over, and that'll kind of wash out.
By the next meeting?
Yes, sir. Well, I think we're still waiting on a few bills to come out. I just wanted to wait until we have all the expenses and then do it all at once.
You mean the general contingency fund?
No, we actually have, we planned $130,000 out of the professional technology reserve fund to be actually expended in this budget for the servers, in addition to the contingency.
I don't think, Randy, I think that was a meeting you were out of town on when we discussed that. I believe, was it
was
not?
That last meeting?
Well, I mean, this would have been budgeted for last August.
Well, I'm trying to.
I guess, and you know, I'm a financial guy, but from a budgeting perspective, you want to go ahead and budget everything, and if you're going to expend funds, it needs to be on there. So either you need to have the revenue in there from a cash perspective, and then have an expense somewhere. So I guess I'm not completely understanding that. I mean, we just need to make sure that we're full disclosure, adequately disclosing.
Okay.
From a transparency perspective.
Okay. Then total for software maintenance, well, I guess total for maintenance expenses, we're at $265,000, is at 112%. And so our total expenses, $2.6 million, which is 64% of our budget. And then going down, our total other expenses, we're at $195,000, and we're at 62% total. So far, we've basically spent 62% of our total budget.
Questions? Okay, if not, we'll move on to our next item, agenda items, which will be, these will be items requiring board action. Number six will be the public hearing for the 2023 budget. And we'll go ahead and open this public hearing at 9:29. And it does not appear that anyone has chosen to comment.
The only comment that I received originally was from Midway ISD. Because originally we had showed a 9% increase to the entities. And so they just had a question of 9% is substantial increase. So at the last meeting, we went in and the 310 roughly thousand that we have excess from 21, we're going to put into 2023's budget as a decrease to the entity's amount that they have to contribute.
And it went down to
2.75 roughly. Yeah, 2.7% is what the, now their increase, their contribution will increase.
Okay.
The total budget increases at 7%, but they're only contributing 2.7.
Okay. Well, if there's no other comments that need to be made, we'll close the public hearing at 9:30. And Mr. Meyer, does this require a vote or just?
Yes, the budget has to be adopted by the board by vote.
Okay.
Record vote.
So we'll move to number 7 at the time, which that should do is to review and adopt the 2023 budget. Joe, you have any comments?
The budget is the same as what we've seen at the last couple meetings. I did print a big legal size sheet just as a reminder that for starting in July, we did a mid-year pay increase on employees. So this shows what the 2023 will be and the mid-year adjustment, but it shows that we're factoring in 8% cost of living adjustment in January. The original salary survey, we were quite off, quite a bit off from our peers and even our smaller counties that we compared to. So this was a move to get us halfway to that midpoint for our staff. So,
and hopefully the COLA makes up a little bit of that gap as well.
Yes, sir. We'll redo another survey February, January time frame and see where we stand compared to our peers, and then we'll relook at it at that point.
Okay. So any questions or comments on the budget?
You know, one comment in Mr. Guillory's first time, but I just want to share with you all, if you look at this little yearly budget comparison, the thing that stands out to me is from 18, 19, 20, 21, 22, 23, we're going from 42 employees to 44 employees, which you look at the work that these employees are doing, and it has expanded immensely compared to two employees. And for them to be able to continue to generate the product that they do with that many employees, I think is commendable. So thank you for what you and your staff do.
The 1983 and 84 budget had like 44 employees in it. So I mean, from 1980, for 40 years, we basically maintained the same staff. We just utilized technology more and more.
Right.
So.
Well, and the consistency with the budget is something else that's commendable here to see. What does it look like, about a $400,000 range at the most?
Yes,
over
sir.
These periods of time, and that's appreciated by the entities, and so we appreciate that. Any other questions or comments? If not, I'll need a motion to adopt the 2023 budget.
So moved.
Mr. Green makes a motion. I need a second.
Second.
Ms. Watkins makes a second. Any further discussion? No further discussion. All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. We'll move down to item number 8. This at this time is our public hearing for the 2023-2024 reappraisal plan.
I received no comments on this. We typically don't.
Okay. We'll open the public hearing at 9:33. Go ahead and say that.
I received no comments on this from the entities or from public.
Okay. Any other questions or comments with regards to this? If not, we'll close the public hearing at 9:33. And we'll go to number 9 at this time, which is to adopt the resolution 2022-7, which is to adopt reappraisal plan for 2023-2024. I'll need a motion. Ms. Watkins makes a motion. I need a second.
Second.
Mr. Green makes a second. We have any further discussion?
You know, this is a lot of paper, and I just recommend that you all do look at it in your spare time, because it can tell you where you may hear attention from your citizens that you represent.
Now, let me, again, Mr. Guillory. The statute requires the Board of Directors every 2 years to adopt a reappraisal plan for the appraisal district. And that's got to be adopted by the Board of Directors. You have to have a public hearing, which you just had. And this is the blueprint for which the chief appraiser and his staff use to appraise property. And that can be called on the record if they do not follow the guidelines contained herein and by statute that they are supposed to follow for a reappraisal of property in McLennan County. And you'll do this every 2 years. which interestingly enough requires the same statute that the appraisal district appraise all property at least on a 3-year basis. So you'll actually adopt another appraisal plan before you end up completing your full cycle. But that's what the statute says.
You have a 2-year plan with a 3-year process. So we reappraise everything every year. We're only recovering 1/3. What it really turns into a reinspection plan. So we reinspect 1/3 of the county, either through aerial photography, permits. Basically, if there's anything that gives us cause to look at it, if we know there's new construction, we go out the very next year. But we find a lot of unpermitted stuff on the 3-year cycle. So we'll pick up barns and sheds and other kind of strange things that didn't require a permit. So you can get away with it for 2 years before we find it, potentially.
And as Mr. Riggs was saying, that's typically when you see that section of the area that you represent, you'll know when the calls start coming.
And as Mr. Riggs said, you can pull out your copy of the reappraisal plan and says, well, it says right here we're supposed to be doing this. So.
I'll go to his office. We read the government together.
Any other questions or comments? We have a motion and a second out there. All those in favor? Opposed? Motion carries. Let's go to item number 10 at this time. Mr. Bobbitt, if you would, please, sir.
We're proposing a tentative date of November 10th. I believe that'll be the second Thursday. Will that be the meeting we do open enrollment, or is that November? September?
November?
Yeah.
It's going to be right at it because we'll do the ad and then it's in October, and then
so November 10th should be our last meeting of the year, which we will review contracts, open enrollment, insurance proposals. And that's been typically my contract.
Okay.
As soon as you get it set in stone, can you let me know? Because I'm back at work and I have to take off.
Okay.
So, and I have to get it on the same day.
Okay. Any other comments on the November 10th meeting? Perfect timing. Okay. Anything else? Anything else come before the board? If not, we will adjourn at 9:37. Thank you for your 37 minutes today. Yes. We try not to have those.